We are continuing our series, Angels Among Us, and this morning we're looking at The Lord is With You. We are in Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 45, as we look at the second angel in the Nativity narratives. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she explained, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will hear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at Angels Among Us. The Lord be with us this morning. And this morning, the candle is peace. I don't know how peaceful your Christmas is this year or on any year, really. We all have some distractions, some noise that gets into our Christmas. But I love angels in the midst of all of us. And my daughter and I love decorating Christmas tree. Everybody got their Christmas trees decorated out there and online? Yeah, it's wonderful. And for us, first of all, I rather like tall Christmas trees. We do use artificial ones, not the real ones, even though I grew up on that. But we decorate the Christmas tree with all these ornaments that have photo ornaments and kind of keepsake ornaments. But the very last ornament that we put on the tree is an angel at the very, very top of the tree. Now, some people use a star, some people use an angel, but we use an angel on our Christmas tree. And it's a high Christmas tree. And so there's been some close calls at our Christmas because I need the stool to get up there and usually lean over. But because of the close calls, I've learned that I can also use the stairs, the staircase, and kind of lean over and, you know, find that right place there. But when it's all done, it's so peaceful to look at the tree, and there's this angel at the top. Now, sometimes our peace has been disturbed because we found out that we're not the only ones in our family that enjoy the Christmas tree decorations, because late at night, a number of years ago, Savannah and I heard this loud crash, and it wasn't reindeer on the roof of the house. It was too early to be that. So we ran downstairs only to find that the cat had not only played with the decorations at the lower part of the tree, but had scaled all the way up the tree to the very angel and toppled the Christmas tree, and it was kind of a disaster. Well, we warned the cat about that, but it didn't work because the cat did it yet again. So now, our cat, once the decorations are on the Christmas tree, must spend the nights in the laundry room locked up. So anyway, but peace for Christmas and angels bring us peace, and we think about all the things in our life. This Christmas, we've got so many challenges in all of our lives, in addition to all the other things, because I know it's not just the pandemic. There's all these other things going on in our life. We really need a message that brings real peace. And this morning, I challenge us to listen to three things the angel said, not just to Mary, but I think echo through the ages down to us and bring us peace that really lasts through all the clamor and through all the darkness that we may experience this Christmas. There is that light, the candle of peace. And the first one is when the angel says, "The Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. What great words. So I invite you to walk back in this story Mary, out of the blue, sees this angel. It's not any angel, it's the angel Gabriel, one of the two angels that's actually named in Scripture. And he is one of the lead angels and no doubt resplendent and powerful looking. And he says, blessed are you among women. And Mary's just overcome. And he says, do not be afraid. But then the angel says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. What great news, isn't it? And I wonder what Mary felt in that moment. First of all, of course, the angel was with her. So, you know, that was overpowering. But I think that maybe in that moment of being daunted by what was ahead of her, that there was real peace there when the angel said, the Lord is with you. And then the angel says, you are favored. Actually, the angel says, you're favored twice in the scripture passage. And I think the reason we're favored sometimes is because the Lord is with you. Now, I know that Mary had a special place, obviously. She was to be a virgin to conceive the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, come to bring us light and salvation and God's love. But I think there, in that moment, when we think about Mary being favored and what that meant to her, and I think in our own lives, sometimes today, we need to hear the message that God's favor is with us. There's a song that I love that's meant a lot for me through this this challenging season of the pandemic, which is The Blessing by Carrie Job. I don't know if you've heard that song. It's on the radio, and we've sang it at the early service some. But it's a beautiful song, comes right from Scripture, and it was really birthed out of the pandemic. In fact, the first time I saw it was they did this virtual Zoom choir in Pittsburgh, and all these churches had one or two people, and it had like 50 people singing these different parts, and they wove it all together, and it's just beautiful. It's still out there. You can see it out there. But the words go like this: may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and give you peace. And then it goes on to say, may his favor be upon you, to you and to your generation and the next generation. And it's such a piece, and that's really the words of it, but it's beautiful. There's a beautiful melody to it, but it comes right from Scripture. And to me, that has been a message that's kind of broken through some of the angst and the anxiety and the stress that has come with the pandemic and all the challenges that we face, is that the Lord is with you, and that God's favor is upon you. And I think that the message is clearly not just to Mary, because Jesus, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 10, promises his disciples this: and lo, I am with you even to the ends of the ages. Jesus is with us. The Lord is with us. So whatever you're going through right now, hear this message that you are favored with the Lord. It doesn't mean, by the way, that everything will always go your way. Mary had a lot of chaos that she had to face. Sometimes we just see the peaceful, serene manger, and we think, oh, how peaceful that must have been. But remember, Mary is planning to get married. She's engaged to Joseph, and all of a sudden, she's going to conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit, and there's this wedding plans and all these kinds of things that are going on. Mary's world really has some chaos surrounding it, but the angel speaks to her words of peace. The Lord is with you, and God's favor is upon you. And so I hope you will hear the angel whisper to you this morning, the Lord is with you. The second word that I think really brings a message of peace to us is the word, the Holy Spirit is within you. Now, it says the Holy Spirit is on you, but it also, better translated, is within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. And Mary says, once she hears the news that she will conceive, she says, how can that be, because I'm a virgin? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit is within you, and you will conceive, and he will be the Messiah, the Savior. He will bring God's salvation to all people. And so when you think about that, you think about the power of Mary being impregnated with the Holy Spirit and to give birth to Jesus. And I know it may seem distant in our world, but think for a moment that the Holy Spirit is promised to us. What did Jesus say in John 14? You know him, for the Holy Spirit is with you and will be in you. The promise of the Holy Spirit. And why the Holy Spirit? The one who will be the comforter, the advocate, the one who empowers us, and the one who gives us God's peace, even amid some of the clamor, the anxiety, the stress, and the darkness of our world. And so whatever you're facing today, I challenge you to think about those words of the angel. The Holy Spirit is within you to give you power, within you to give you peace. And again, we are facing a lot of things. But the world that Mary faced, the world of Herod, was a world full of darkness and injustice. The Roman Empire was oppressing the people of Israel in a very real and harsh way. But the Holy Spirit within us changes it. It doesn't mean that all the realities that are around us will suddenly vanish, but what it does mean is we have the power to overcome. The Holy Spirit is within you. And so think about that this morning. And so the Lord is with you, the Holy Spirit is within you, and the final word is this: the Most High is over you. What a beautiful message, isn't it? So part of the explanation here of this incredible miracle that Mary is experiencing is the Most High is over you. And I think that's amazing, isn't it? There you can think of the King Most High or the creator of all that is, but I love that phrase, the Most High. In fact, Jesus is called the Son of the Most High. And when we think of the Most High, I think, of course, not just up, you know, visually or, you know, metaphorically, but the one who created everything that is. And one of the things that I'm always challenged to do, even when it gets a little cold, is in the Christmas season, in the journey of Advent to Christmas, is to go outside and look at the night sky. Because the colder it gets, the more stars are visible, right? Just one of the phenomena. It's just easier because of the atmosphere to see more stars. And on a clear night, it's just amazing to look at all the stars. I always think of the Star of Bethlehem, of course. And this year, on I guess the 21st or 22nd, there's going to be a Bethlehem star kind of event that's repeated. But I always just think of the magic of the night and the stars and all the kind of things that happen in the Christmas season at night. And so I think of the Most High that created everything. Of the universe. And I think part of what's there is maybe the word to Mary is, listen, if God created the entire universe, everything that's here, all the planets, all the stars, everything out of nothing, and infinity that goes out in time and space, everything just is unimaginable, beyond our comprehension, then God can put everything in place for you, right? But once again, I think it's not just to Mary, but to each of us, right? The Most High is over you. So whatever you're facing today, know that God has a plan and purpose and God has the power to see you through. It doesn't mean that things will always fall our way, but I think what it does mean is that God can use anything that happens in our life towards a greater good that one day we'll know about. But we can have confidence that the Most High is over us. Now, the angel also said something that I love that I think is part of that, which is no word of God will ever fail. And it's also translated to other places, nothing is impossible with God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, by the way, right? Because you're saying right away, well, that's impossible. And then, like the angel already says, anticipates that, right? Nothing is impossible with God. Why? Because the Most High created everything, and this is nothing for God. God has a plan and purpose for all these things. And what is Mary's response to that? It's beautiful because it's very different than Zechariah's response that we looked at last week. Because Zechariah wanted to know, okay, now, how is this going to happen? Now, Mary asks, how? But then the angel answers her, right? And Mary says what? Let it be according to your word. Or just let it be, which I love because I'm a Beatles fan and love that song, right? But let it be. There's such a trust there, right? And I think I'm a lot like Zechariah a lot of time. I want to say, how exactly is that going to happen and in what timetable? And God just wants to say, me to say, let it be. Where's the trust? Where's the faith in that? And we need that picture of the God Most High who is over us. One of the most daunting intellectuals in the history of theology and philosophy is St. Thomas Aquinas. If you don't believe that, try reading the Summa Theologica. Probably one person here has read it, maybe two or three. It is a daunting piece. Thomas Aquinas, who lived in the 13th century, is one of the greatest intellects, not just in theology and philosophy, but in all world history, they think. And he brought together science, philosophy, theology, all together. And he was one of the people that went on this debate on behalf of the church that God wasn't really illogical, the truths of theology, but simply beyond reason, right? Because God is the God of reason. God is the God of science who put it all together, the universe. And so one of the things that he expounds in one of this great medieval debate, actually just before the medieval times. But it's interesting because after he had written the Summa Theological towards the end of it right there, he had this experience on December the 6th, which is today, only 1273. December the 6th, 1273, he was celebrating Holy Communion, as we will shortly, when all of a sudden he had this vision of God. We don't know exactly what, but it was just beyond his imagination. And he was left speechless. In fact, he decided he would never pick up his pen to write another book following that. And people asked him about that, and he basically explained it very shortly and succinctly, as the biography said. He said, after seeing that and after experiencing that vision, he felt that everything that he ever read was but straw, was nothing but straw. That was his words. He said, now I await going into the presence of God. He was looking forward to being with God because it was so unimaginable, so amazing, so beyond anything even his great mind could he ever comprehend. The Most High is over you. The Most High was over Mary. The Most High was over St. Thomas Aquinas. The Most High is over each and every one of us. So today, whatever you're facing that wants to push out the peace in your life, the darkness, the very real challenges that we face, whether challenges from a pandemic, whether illness of any kind, the loss of a loved one even, financial strains, or just the disquiet that's all around us, the darkness, the doubt. Hear those words of the angel whispered to you this morning personally. The Lord is with you, the Holy Spirit is within you, and the Most High is over you. I'm going to close with this thought. Mary goes from hearing the angel to a small Judean village where Elizabeth and Zachariah live. She needed a place to stay, and she needed to probably think about this, and she needed a little woman time. And all the ladies said, amen, right? Because Elizabeth was 6 months down the road, so she had some wisdom to offer and a miracle of a different nature. And when Mary walks into the room of the home, Elizabeth, all of a sudden, by an act of the Holy Spirit, the baby within her, which will be John the Baptist, leaps in her womb. And Elizabeth is empowered to speak words of wisdom to Mary that says, who am I that you would bring this favor upon me, that the mother of our Savior would be here? Now, here's something that's interesting, I think. First of all, that Mary was impregnating, but she was taking Christ into her world already when she was pregnant. And you and I might not be pregnant, but we have Christ's Spirit within us, and we can take God's love into the world, Christ's love into the world. But also, it's interesting because Elizabeth said, why am I so favored? In other words, Mary was passing on the favor that the angel had blessed her with and showing someone else the favor of God by the presence of Christ. Angels, I believe, are real. But they mean heavenly messenger in the Greek. It just means messenger, but it's clear something. These are actual angels like Gabriel, who has a name. But I think it also implies that you and I can be a messenger from God too. We could be an angel. And what do we do to be an angel? I think we carry the message, the presence of Christ into our darkened world that very much needs the candles of hope and peace and love and joy that come only through Christ. And when we do that, we carry the favor of God to other people. And what a blessing this Christmas, in the midst of all the challenges that we're facing, to carry the favor of God to someone else, to pass the candle, if you will, of hope, peace, love, and joy. Well, last week, I shared with you a country song, and you probably know that I like all kinds of music, but, you know, and I like some country music. Not all of it, but some country music I like. But one of the songs that I love is by Alabama, and I shared it with you, called Angels Among Us, which I thought, obviously, that's perfect for this. And I shared the first verse and the chorus with you, and this week I want to share the second verse and the chorus with you. And I shared that Becky Hobbs and Don Goodman both had kind of experiences where they felt like an angel had touched them and spared and blessed them. Becky Hobbs, who originally started the song and wrote the chorus, was struggling with the verses, but she shares that the song came from a moment where she heard a voice from heaven she says out loud, and that says for her to be very careful in the coming days. And so she was, and she missed a semi truck that ran a red light, and she felt like her and her band were spared. And I know there's sometimes we wish, well, where was the angel in my life? And I don't have those answers, but the Most High does. But she felt like somehow an angel had spared her and given her the gift of further life. And she shared, after struggling and not being able to come up with the verses, that kind of message with Don Goodman, who had an association with Alabama. And he said, yeah, I want to be part of that song. It just sounds right. And so he shared it with his five-year-old daughter, and she was just enamored by it. And so together they co-wrote the song. And I want to share the second verse with you because I think it really speaks to us, not just of angels that are supernatural, but how we ourselves can be angels too. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say, I understand. Now, ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone light the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. You and I have experienced angels in our own life, though we may not have known it, and you and I can be an angel to show people how to live, to teach people how to give, and to show them the light of love that we find in Christ. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, in this season of Advent, as we journey to Christmas, there's so many things that would preoccupy us and take away our peace that we find only in you. But Lord, help us to push aside some of the hustle and bustle and hurry and worry, and to focus on the light that only you give and the peace that only you can give us. Today, help us to focus on you, to feel your peace anew that transcends all understanding. And Lord, help us to share that great light of peace with others near and far. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.